Jamunati Ravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya. Jaya Vishnu Mahabhadra Mahamsa Mahabharati Gacharya, Sada Sipad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sada Prabhupada Gajaya. Namacharya Dastakur Gajaya. Ramsagaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Lady Gadada Shri Gaur Bhakti Rindi Gijai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gova Govida Shama Kunda Radha Kudu Gudu Govida Nijai Sri Vrindavan Dham Kijai Navadap Dham Kijai Gangshamana Tosi Bhakti Devi Kijai Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrindi Kijai Samabhata Bhakti Rindi Gijai Go Premanandi All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Sri Guranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastavutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste, Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Prachadane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashacha Desha Tarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasaji Gaurabhaktarinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2, chapter 10, verse 46. I am to Brahmana Kalpa Savikapa Udartha Vidi Sadara Noyatra Sarga Prakrita Vaikrita I am process of creation and annihilation. Two, but Brahmana of Brahma, Kalpa, one day, Savikalpa, along with duration of the universes. Udharta, exemplified. Vidhi, regulator principles. Sadharana, in summary. Yatra, wherein. Sarga, creation, prakrita, in the matter of material nature, vikrita, disbursement. This process of creation or annihilation described in summary herein is the regulative principle during the duration of Brahma's one day. It is also the regulative principle in the creation of Mahat, in which material nature is dispersed. There are three kinds of creation called Mahakalpa, Vikalpa, and Kalpa. In the Mahakalpa, the Lord assumes the first Purusha incarnation as Karna Rakshai Vishnu, with all the potencies of Mahatattva and 16 principles of creative matter and instruments. The creative instruments are 11, the ingredients are 5, and all of them are products of Mahat, or materialistic ego. These creations by the Lord in his feature of Karnadakshaya Vishnu are called Mahakalpa. The creation of Brahma and disbursement of the material ingredients are called Vikalpa, and creation by Brahma in each day of his life is called Kalpa. Therefore, each day of Brahma is called a Kalpa, and there are 30 Kalpas in terms of Brahma's days. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Vidu Ratam Yuga Sahasrantam Te Horatra Vido Jana. In the upper planetary system, the duration of one complete day and night is equal to one complete year of this earth. This is accepted by modern science and attested by astronauts. Similarly, in the region of still higher planetary systems, the duration of day and night is still greater than in the heavenly planets. The four yugas are calculated in terms of the heavenly calendars and accordingly are 12,000 years in terms of heavenly planets. This is called a Divya Yuga. And 1,000 Divya Yugas make one day of Brahma. The creation during the day of Brahma is called a Kalpa, and the creation of Brahma is called a Vikalpa. When Vikalpas are made possible by the breathing of Mahavishnu, it's called a Mahakalpa. And there are regular and systematic cycles of these Mahakalpas, Vikalpas, and Kalpas. In answer to Maharaj Pariksha's questions about Nasukadeva Goswami answered in the Prabhaskanda of Skanda Purana. There they are as follows. And there's a list of all the different kalpas in one day of Brahma. These are Brahma's days only. He has to live months and years up to 100, so we can just imagine how many creations there are in kalpas only. And then again, there are vikalpas, which are generated by the breathing of Mahavishnu, as stated in Brahma's Samhita. The Brahmas live only during the breathing of Mahavishnu. So the exalted exhaling and inhaling of Vishnu are Mahakalpas, and all these are due to the Supreme Personality of God, for no one else is the master of creation. Translation, this process of creation and annihilation described in summary herein is a regulative principle during the duration of Brahma's one day. It also has a regulative principle of creation of the Mahat, in which the material nature is dispersed. There are different topics of Bhagavatam, 10 topics described here in the second canto, also at the end of the Bhagavatam, starting with Sarga and Visarga. And at the end we have Nirod. The ninth topic is Nirod. So Sarga and Visarga are the creation of these material worlds, and Nirod, the ninth item, is destruction of the material worlds. So Sarga and Visarga are two aspects of creation, not the only aspects, but two aspects, which are also described here in the purport. They have to do with who is involved in the creation. So, of course, all of these creations are, in one sense, indirect, because the Lord never touches matter. Yet, the Lord is the cause of all manifestations. So there has to be some sort of relationship by which things take place in the material world. How does prakriti transform into mahatattva and ahankara and the elements? And how do the elements combine together to make universes? And how do the elements combine to make planets and bodies in the universe? So this is a topic of curiosity for the human being, not for animals. And therefore, religion tries to answer the question, okay, God is the creator of everything. Science answers the question by starting analyzing things in the modern world according to physics and whatever, and biology, zoology, all of these things, and we come up with evolutionary theory and relativity theory. We have theories of in astrophysics of how the Big Bang takes place, by which matter in its very ambiguous state turns into galaxies and universes, etc. So all theoretical, of course. But anyway, why do we have these sciences at all? Because human beings ask this question, how is everything created? So, of course, animals don't ask that question. Human beings ask that question. We get two answers, a theological answer, God's at the top, he does everything. Other is, well, somehow some physical laws are operating by which it just takes place on its own. And that's science, modern science, at least. So anyway, the question is always there, and scripture also gives an answer. So in the Vedic literatures, we find that there is the creator or the supreme person. That's the supreme lord, Bhagavan, or whatever. But he's not a creator in the normal sense, as I said, because the Lord does not touch matter. So sometimes we do have illustrations, particularly in Christianity, where we have God and he's got his two hands and he's taking things and he's making world and he's making human beings like clay models out of this hand with his hands. That's a little bit primitive. Because the Lord doesn't have to operate in that way. But nevertheless, there is some mechanism by which he operates. So this is described in the Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures. So it takes place indirectly. So Bhagavan in the spiritual world doesn't do it. But because he's all-powerful, he expands himself into other forms, which are still himself, but also different simultaneously. So one of those creations is Mahavishnu or Karandakshai Vishnu. So we can regard him as more of a direct creator of the material world. This way, Bhagavan doesn't have to do anything. His functional aspect of Mahavishnu does it. So even Mahavishnu, does, in one sense, doesn't directly do anything. It's described that not only here, also in the Upanishads, like Taittiriya Upanishad and others, the Lord glanced. And it also says, he willed, or he simply desired, let there be many things, and suddenly universe manifests with many varieties. So, therefore, simply by the will of the Lord, material energy starts to operate. What does this mean? It cannot operate on its own. The will of the Lord is involved. If we think in terms of science, we have things like, okay, Big Bang theory or whatever. There's a Big Bang and then it happened. Oh, why did the Big Bang happen? No answer, in one sense. So, theologically, we can say, because the Lord willed it to happen. Will of the Lord. So, in that sense, if we have a scientific theory, we put the Lord behind it, then it becomes, theological. So the will of the Lord is there. So he's not a creator that he gets down there and takes the matter and starts making things out of it. No, he simply wills it to happen. And then, within the laws of nature, things begin to develop, as in science. Big Bang, and then all the chemicals react, and the gases expand or contract and do whatever they're going to do, and they form galaxies, and the galaxies start condensing into you know, matter, and then we get planetary systems, etc. So things happen like that on their own, in one sense, but there's laws behind it. In science, we have thermodynamic laws, laws of physics, laws of gravity, whatever, laws of motion at work, and all these operate together, and we get matter solidifying into planets and suns, etc., and then they start revolving around, the planets revolve around the suns, etc., and we get our Earth or whatever, all due to physical laws. Yeah? So that is inbuilt within the Prakriti. So the Vedic way of explaining it is Mahavishnu, by his will or his glands, instigates Prakriti, and then it starts to do something. Primary state, it does nothing. It's not visible at all. It's indetectable. No one can detect what it is even. Science cannot detect Prakriti. Because it's not solid, but it's matter. But it's in an invisible state. So it's called avyakta. So when the Lord says, yes, let Prakriti begin to operate, then we get the first disturbance. That is, there is a manifestation of sattvagun, prominent, and mahatattva arises. Simultaneously, the jiva appears within matter at that time. So this is a state of sattva. Of course, the gunas are always there, but they're in equilibrium still, so nothing is manifest, but then sattva becomes prominent suddenly, and rajagun and tamagun become less, and therefore we get mahatattva manifesting. And then, after this whole agitation of Prakriti, then rajagun manifests, tamagun manifests. From tamagun arises ahankara. From ahankara, it combines in the sattvic mode, and we get mind. In rajasic mode, we get senses coming out of Prakriti. In tamasic mode, we get sense objects and gross material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So that's what we call sarga, the first step in creation. So Mahavishnu is behind it. Behind Mahavishnu is Bhagavan. And this, the Lord operates a little bit indirectly, so he doesn't really touch matter at all. So that's one level of creation. Once the matter begins to solidify, we get universes. And then the Lord enters into the universe, and he manifests Brahma. And then Brahma, within the universe, produces all the different planetary systems and bodies for living entities to inhabit the systems. That is called Visarga, or secondary creation. This is slightly different from modern science. We say, well, where do the living entities come from? Evolution. Chance combinations only of matter. Certainly, the bodies are made out of matter, but according to Bhagavatam, it is not chance. The forms are already there in one sense. Brahma manifests those particular forms for living entities. So it's not the chance. This operates on its own. It makes certain forms. And even Brahma does not have to create using his hands or whatever like that. He uses mind. So therefore, he makes all the forms of all the different plants and all the animals and the birds and the fish, etc. Human species, etc. So, therefore, behind this combination is the plan of Lord Brahma to make the matter combine in certain ways to give the bodies to the living entities. Apart from that, we have the jivas. the jivas must inhabit the bodies in order that they are alive. So where do the jivas come from? They're not created. But they enter into the universe according to previous karma from previous universe. And they take up the different bodies there by the will of the Lord. So in this way, we get planets, universes, solar systems or whatever, galaxies, all of this taking place, and we get bodies or living entities in all the different places within the universe. So that is the description of the creation. Because it is matter, it is temporary, so there must be an end to it. We have temporary ends and we have permanent ends, so to speak. Temporary end is each body has a beginning and an end, a birth and a death. Then we have bigger subdivisions. Within the day of Brahma, we have some 14 minor destructions after the each Manvantara period is over, 71 yuga cycles. There's a flood and things are destroyed. And then after the flood's over, then little creation takes place again. At the end of the day of Brahma, there's another flood, and everything's destroyed. The water rises up above Swargaloka. And at nighttime, all the inhabitants disappear. Brahma wakes up in the morning. He has to put everything back together, put all the planetary systems in the proper place, put all living entities in it again. That's the kalpa of Brahma. So we have the days of Brahma. These are the kalpas, days and nights, actually. And then we have made up 1,000 yuga cycles for the day, 1,000 for the night, I guess. And 30 of days make a month, 12 months make a year. So in this way, we get time for Lord Brahma, and he has 100-year lifespan. At the end of Brahma's lifespan, there's the big destruction called the Mahapralaya. Everything is destroyed, and it's not recreated again the next day. It just all disappears. So that's the big destruction. Things are destroyed. They simply merge into Prakriti. Prakriti is not destroyed. But everything goes into a state of equilibrium. Everything disappears into a Vakta state. And then when Mahavishnu wills it, after the jivas have taken rest for some time in Mahavishnu, again he wills matter to manifest itself. And again we have the whole cycle taking place again. And then again it's dissolved. So this is the creation and the destruction. So we have Sarga, which is creation by Mahavishnu, and Visarga, the creation by Lord Brahma. And we have Nirod, the destruction. The big one, which is the destruction of Mahapralaya. So, these are the limits of Brahma's life. He has a beginning, he has an end, which is his death, after which the universe is destroyed. All of this operates through time. We see very regulated. 1,000 yuga cycles for a day, 30 days for a month, 12 months for a year, 100 years of Brahma. So the cycles are very regular. Creation, destruction, etc. what operates. The evolution, or how the creation takes place, is very regular. By the will of the Lord, Mahatattva manifests, and Ahankara manifests, Sattvagun, Tamagun, Rajagun manifests with the planets and the elements and the sense objects and the senses, and the sense devatas and the mind, etc. All very regular. So all of this is the rules of the Supreme Lord. It is by his rules that all of this takes place. He makes the rules by which everything happens. So in that sense, there is order within the universe.
within that big orderly structure, then we have variety. The variety is due to the different desires of the jivas. Each jiva is an individual. An individual sense of his being, individual identity, individual desires, and therefore individual actions and individual karma. And due to the karmas, we get different bodies for the living entities. So, the order is there, and the structure is there in terms of elements and time, etc., with creation and destruction. Within that, then the jivas take up bodies, and as human beings, they do activities and they create results in the future. That is karma. All of which is different for every living entity. So the activities of the jivas within the material world are of great variety, and as a human being, we do the activities, we get karma. And that propels us into birth and death. So constantly the jivas take bodies in the material world all throughout the day of Brahma, throughout the life of Brahma. And they go from body to body to body to body. So this is a little bit of a hopeless position for the living entities. They're just wandering around in the material world, going from body to body. So where is the plan there? The plan is a combination of the law of karma and the intelligence of the human being. By using his intelligence, he can direct his bodies. He can direct his future, so he doesn't have to wander around. In other words, he can get free of karma by his choices. To make proper choices, we have to have proper intelligence. Human being is said to be properly intelligent, therefore he gets karma for all of his activities because he's responsible for his choices. So, a little bit difficult because most of the human beings who are supposed to be intelligent are not intelligent. They're also in ignorance. Most of the the human beings are also tamagun. And therefore we see that society in even Varnashram, majority of the people are sudras, tamagun. To help them out, we have dharma. So therefore, the system of dharma implements laws so that the sudra doesn't act like an animal. Get some control over him. But obviously the sudra cannot act on his own. If he has a choice, he'll say, no laws. Let me just go free. So the laws are imposed. So the kshatriya applies the laws, sudra has to follow the laws. And this way, gradually by regulation, the sudra gets purified birth after birth and raises up through the gunas. So the varnashram system is instituted to help the jivas rise up from a tamagun state as a human being, to a sattvic state. In the upper parts of Rajagun and in Sattvagun, the intelligence begins to operate properly. And in the Varnashram system, we have Nishkama Karma Yoga and then Jnana Yoga for the people in Rajagun and Sattvagun. So these are purifying for everyone. So in that state, then finally the jiva realizes he's not the material body. That's the first spiritual realization of the jiva. So the law of karma is produced by the Supreme Lord. The institution of Varnashram is also produced by the Supreme Lord to help the jiva rise up through the gunas and become intelligent. And then finally end his material birth and death in the world. So these are the means supplied by the Supreme Lord within the material world. So though the Lord is the creator of the material world, though indirectly, he does not leave it. He provides means which are beneficial for the jiva. So he provides karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, and finally bhakti yoga. So throughout the day of Brahma, all of this takes place. Again and again, the Manus come 14 times in one day of Brahma, establish a line of kings to institute the Varnashram system. The Manus are also devotees of the Lord. So they also encourage people to be devotees. Like we have people like Ambarish, etc., great devotees of the Lord. So the Lord is always there to assist the jivas in their advancement. Now, unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, the Varnashram system is not very strong. And in fact, the line of Manu gets broken almost. So the present descendant of Manu is not visible. He's hiding in the Himalayas. And he won't manifest again till the next Satya Yuga. So therefore, Varnashram is more or less a hopeless endeavor also. So this leaves all the jivas open to Tamagun throughout Kali Yuga. Very, very hopeless. So what is to be done? This question was asked by the sages of Naimisaranya. What do we do in Kali Yuga? What is the answer? Srimad Bhagavatam has risen like the sun to destroy the darkness of Kali Yuga. That's one answer. We have the Bhagavatam. Why is the Bhagavatam there? Why is it the sun? Because it presents Krishna, who is Swayam Bhagavan. So therefore, saving grace of Kali Yuga is worship of Krishna. Does not depend on Varnashram system. Not only worship Krishna, but we find in the end of the Bhagavatam, what does it say? Sankirtan, chanting the name of Krishna, is the process for the people of Kali Yuga. So, Bhagavatam presents us with the identity of Krishna and the qualities and form and activities of Krishna. And then we have the process of chanting his name, which has been given to us in the Bhagavatam and presented by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this is the remedy by which the people of Kali Yuga can overcome their position of tamogun, ignorance, wandering around in the material world, and not only become free from birth and death and karma, material bodies, but they can also reach the highest level of bliss in the spiritual world. That is through realization of Radha and Krishna. So that is the benediction given to the people of Kali Yuga through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, though the yugas continue, the time continues, the creation and destruction of material bodies continues forever. In other words, Prakriti is eternal. And the jivas in the material world are also eternal. It is possible for the jiva to extract himself permanently from the material world. And therefore, though karma has no beginning, karma can have an end. So that is the position for the jiva. And the human being is the jiva who can take that opportunity and end the karma. Animals cannot do so. So therefore, we have the process in the form of worship of Krishna and chanting of the name of Krishna presented by Bhagavatam. And by this, we can overcome all of this, these kulpas and whatever in the material world and the manifestation of material universes, material bodies created and destroyed through the process of time. All this is negative factors for the jiva in the material world. So the jiva can go beyond this and attain eternal bliss with the Supreme Lord through the process of chanting his name. Okay, any question? Well, we can do anything, but the main process is chanting the holy name. Kolo nasteva 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 gati ranyata. It's the main process. We can do other things. We'll never be perfect. And we cannot be distracted from worshiping Krishna through Nam Sankirtan. Everything else will have to be secondary to that, whatever it is. We cannot operate because we don't have the king. The institution founded by Manu has disappeared. No descendant of Manu is left. How can we do it? So it's not going to be a good system. It's not going to be a stable system in Kali Yuga, obviously. Yeah, his karma is not ended unless he has destroyed his karma through bhakti. So he'll have to come back again. When the Lord wills it, then the universes are created, the jivas again enter because they still have their karma. And again they enter the universe and take up bodies again. So it's just like going to sleep at night, you rest sometime, then you get up in the morning. So the jivas go to Mahavishnu, and they come out again, and then they start their activities again.
Krishna. We thank His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj for this enlightening class. Now there is a Garuda Stambha Puja is happening below. All devotees are requested to come down. Hare Krishna.